Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. This is your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning, fresh from the New York Occupy Wall Street effort, is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Yes, thank you, Stone. I've survived. And I went to the Occupy Wall Street protest, and all I got was this stinking T-shirt.
And did you shift your position on capitalism since
yes,
your trip?
Yes, now I'm even more pro-capitalism after experiencing and smelling the sights, sounds, and smells of the Occupy Wall Street.
So give us the skinny on this thing. What was the event like? Did you learn anything? Did you talk to folks?
Yes, I noticed that I don't know what was more, the number of media outlets or the protesters. It was hard to discern which had more people participating. But my favorite part, and I sent you a photo of this, was the guy, he looked a little homeless in the corner selling Occupy Wall Street buttons at the anti-capitalism event. It was cash only, did not take credit cards, and he was selling Occupy Wall Street buttons, and people were forking over, you know, $5 to $10 for a button.
Right, right.
To commemorate this anti-capitalism.
So you think there's any chance that he even remotely got the irony in this thing?
No, I don't think that anybody was. I thought that was hilarious, but I don't think anybody else appreciated the irony.
Well, we have a capitalism fest going on here at the Business Radio X Studios this morning. We have quite a studio full. In a little while, we're going to hear from speakers at conferences and consultants and franchise experts and all that good stuff. But first up, on the High Velocity Radio Show, we are going to hear from the pink plumber, Mr. Jeffrey. Is it Gillow or Gillen?
Gillen.
Gillen. Well, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you very much for having us.
Well, we are delighted to have you, man. I am just absolutely fascinated. Kudos to you for this niche angle of yours, the pink plumber. Give us some background on this thing.
Well, we've been in business for 20 years, and over the last 9 months, one of my employees came up to us and said, you know, we really ought to give back more. And we have a lot of meetings at the company, and we totally agreed. And so about a year ago, we said, you know what, let's try to work something that helps people and we can give back. And then it was suddenly that it just clicked. My mom had breast cancer, and she survived, and she's 84. She still lives in England. And more and more, Captain Herbert, I think you know him, the Eye in the Sky, and his mother had cancer, and we talked about it one day at lunch. And so he said, you know what? What a great connection this would be if we could donate 5% of all our net profits. Didn't matter. You know, we know that we're going through a tough time with the recession, but right now we're holding our head up, and we're still donating right now. And we don't wait till October, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's just nice to do it every month. And so we make a donation every quarter to the National Breast Cancer Foundation. And we just think it's a good fit. We think that a lot of the people that call are the ladies of the city. And what better way than to just keep giving back? And we know it has that edge of, you know, well, it's an advertising thing. But you know what? As long as we keep making the checks, over the last 30 years, all the people that have been helped with the donations from the Pink Ribbon and the October month, I just think is sensational. And, you know, right now it's small. It's $20,000 this year. And I'd like to think that 20 years would go by and Ames would still be here. And somebody said, you know, they donated $250,000. I mean, wouldn't that be nice? And maybe have a little log of the people that were helped with mammograms. And, you know, it's just, I just think it's a good fit.
Well, I'm sure it is, and I'm just as tickled to death as I can be for you that you've chosen to do this, and you're getting some positive success from it. The plumbing arena, is that a competitive business, plumbing?
Yes, sir. Very.
And so this above and beyond the fact that you're genuinely helping folks, this is sort of helping you carve out a little bit of a niche and get some attention and some awareness?
Well, right now we've been in business for 20 years, and right now I'd love to tell you that we're just booming and things are going better, and the economy's not that way, and people are struggling, and we understand that. So if we were not doing the Pink Plumber, I just think it would be the fact that we were actually not donating to the cause. And right now we haven't seen any increase in volume or anything like that. But we just think it's a good fit when we come to the door and the trucks are all painted in pink and the guys have got their shirts on. And it's like, you know what? We appreciate it because we think you care.
And now the way you got on our radar screen is through a public relations agency, a PR contact, I believe. I'm interested to learn a little bit more about what compelled you to make that decision, and what advice, if any, do you have to other business owners out there about seeking out some professional support like that, and how to manage that relationship and get the most out of it?
Well, this is the first time I'd done anything like this, because this is the this morning was our ring around Atlanta. We drove 40 vehicles around Atlanta this morning on 285.
Oh, cool. So, see, Lee would have gotten on the hood for you for that. Next
yeah,
year,
really.
Book Lee, he'll sit on the hood for you.
You can paint me pink. I'll sit on the hood. It'll be great.
But anyway, we'd never done anything like it. We knew this was a very big week. It's the cancer walk is this weekend. The B. Coleman is walking this weekend. And so that's a really big event. And so we said, you know, let's do it on the Monday. Let's do the trucks round Atlanta. And I was actually introduced to Kristen by the guy that does all my radio advertising, which we're on WSB, as you probably know, AM 750.
So right.
That
cool.
was the connection there.
So have you called a plumber lately, Lee?
No, I haven't called a plumber in forever. But I would imagine in your business that it's kind of people call you only in an urgent situation, right? There's no
Absolutely.
Preventative plumbing that people
yep.
do.
We
I like that.
We don't. Well, there is actually some ways to stop having problems with plumbing. A lot of people just put food down the sinks and stuff.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
So now, how do people find you now? Is it like, do people, they don't search the Yellow Pages anymore, do they?
The Yellow Pages has somewhat died, and so we have billboards all the way around Atlanta. I know probably you've seen them. We have 40 billboards around Atlanta, and we are on the radio, and the internet is a big, big,
right.
big thing for us for the Pink Plumber.
And I have to ask, because I wonder if this wouldn't be a great textbook study. The name of the firm is Ames, which starts with two A's. So that was a Yellow Page strategy to start
Absolutely.
With, wasn't it?
Absolutely, it was.
And now we're at the Pink Plumber, and when that peters out, I think it's going to be the best dressed plumber. I know our listeners at home can't see this. You're the best dressed plumber I've ever seen.
Thank you.
I mean, the man has a tie on.
Now, have you ever been a plumber?
Oh, I started the company in the one truck. Believe me.
You were Ames?
I was the number first person in the truck as Ames Plumbing. And for about 4 or 5 years, it never stopped.
He's a success story. And you're not from around here, at least not originally.
It
I'm
sounds like Smyrna. Is that Smyrna? Can you pick up the accent?
Manchester, Alabama.
yeah, Manchester.
No, I'm from Manchester, England.
Ah, there you go. Stone was just there.
I was just
ago.
There. We're putting a studio up over there, there in London and Birmingham. But Manchester, we feel like, is where we're going to start.
Okay.
And they just rolled the red carpet out for us. They were wonderful. A great city for business, I think.
Yeah, cool people, yeah.
Well, you didn't think so. You left. No, I'm just messing with you. We're delighted to have you on this side of the pond. Before we let you go, let's make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you for their plumbing needs, or if they want to learn about how they can maybe get more involved in supporting this great cause.
Well, that would be really nice. The phone number is 770-222-PINK, and we're on where you can get us on the internet with The Pink Plumber.
ThePinkPlumber.com?
Yes.
Cool.
Well, Jeffrey, it's an absolute delight to have you on the show. Can you hang out with us for a little while?
Absolutely, I'd love to.
Terrific. Thank you. Well, next up on the High Velocity Radio Show is a guy who knows probably a lot more than the rest of us have forgotten about franchising. I don't think I have met this
gentleman
before.
Are you saying he's old? That's what it's
I'm saying he is seasoned. He is seasoned, knowledgeable. But you've met the guy before, I think. I've never met the guy. I only know him by reputation. Mm-hmm. But with Fran Connect, welcome to the show, Stan Friedman.
Thank you, Stone. Pleased to be with you again.
Yeah. So what is the state of franchising these days?
State of franchising is actually pretty good, despite some things that are going on down on Wall Street and around the country that are all bank-driven. Typically, recession is a good time for franchising, and this time was the first time historically that turned out to be a little bit different, because the bank credit squeeze, which helps to fund the dream that those that are wanting to leave corporate America, get into business for themselves, need to fuel the engine. Well, that's just not been there as easily and as readily this time around. But we're working through it, and optimism prevails in the franchising world, and companies like Fran Connect are here to help make those dreams realities for the businesses that have to keep their franchisees successful, the franchisors.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about Fran Connect and what exactly Fran Connect does?
Fran Connect is the largest software supplier strictly to the franchising industry. We've got over 400 franchised brands from the big daddies like UPS, Domino's Pizza, or even Mr. Rooter. on our roster of clients. And what we really do is a soup-to-nuts solution. We provide services that help the franchisors better effectively manage their businesses and their relationships with their franchisees. We actually help them locate prospective franchisees and manage who should or shouldn't get a franchise. And then all the way through the keyhole, we come back on the other end with services that we provide to the franchisors that help the franchisees, their franchisees, better run and manage their businesses with their customers. So from soup to nuts, from front to back, anything that makes it more efficient and a better opportunity for profitability, which in these times is very compelling, is why franchise companies should choose FranConnect to help them with their needs. I think, Lee, what brought us together for this visit today was the fact that you clapped. I think you saw an ad that I was running.
Right.
No shortage of jobs here. FranConnect's looking for people.
Looking for people.
Are you really?
Yeah. Yeah, we're looking for people in account management to help us manage our existing relationships and people to work with me in terms of working with new franchisors that aren't yet on our client roster. But yes, it's
What would that job require? What kind of person are you looking for?
Typically, Lee, it's somebody that's a little bit younger than I am, you know, a Gen X or a Gen Y, somebody who understands technology but understands people and relationships too and has an appetite for both. So people that like to work with people.
Right.
And people that understand technology and how to help those that don't quite get their heads around it as easily as they should.
So what would be their job? What are they doing for you?
They'd be doing account management. They'd be on the telephone. They'd be talking with clients and helping them implement programs that they've purchased from us. They'd be helping in the management of those relationships. And actually, some of them could even be helping in facilitating new relationships as well.
So what kind of mistakes do you see or at least hear about organizations as they begin to franchise if they don't get the right kind of advice at the right time? What are some of the traps that these companies fall into just as they're starting to branch out like that?
It's Stephen Covey said it best, begin with the end in mind, taken right out of the pages of Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. You know, as things start typically is as things go, and whether it's franchising or if it's just business in general. If you try to build something in a fashion that has you either undercapitalized or you're not resourced properly with the right systems and people in place, and you try to grow with that as a foundation, it would be kind of like trying to build a house, and you wanted a five-story home, but you didn't build a foundation to support anything but the first floor. It's just not going to work. You can't put the word sustainable in front of the word growth unless you begin with the end in mind and source your business and your business plan correctly.
He's addressed that question before.
Yeah, that wasn't the first time.
This is not your first rodeo, is it, Stan?
Hey, what can I say? It comes with that seasoning, you know?
Are there any franchise, what's the right word, the industry's types of franchises that are particularly hot, like, I don't know, sandwiches or
it's
food?
It's yogurt.
Is it yogurt? Is yogurt the hot thing?
I'll be honest with you. Yogurt is out there in a big way now, but again, that's sustainable in front of the word growth. How many different kinds of yogurts can you eat in a week? I would suggest to you that those things that are the best opportunities, and especially in these times, are things, well, food, of course, because people will always eat. But I would suggest that things that are either child-related, things that are elder-related, baby boomers, elder care,
elder
home care.
Right.
Got a lot of old people coming down the
pike. You know, when I was in New York, I saw Mexican barbecue. What do you think of that?
Kind of like it.
I like that.
Yeah,
Mexico.
That's got a nice ring to it. But I think anything that's in the space that's recession resistant, you know, parents are not going to stop buying things or doing things for their children, art, sports, tutoring, those types of programs, those are all kind of recession resistant. And your health is your health. And as we age and need assistance in helping, families manage the relatives that need help, those are kinds of spaces that in all times are going to do well.
So if I want to franchise Stone's Bicycle Shop, do I need to write a check just to get to sit and talk with you? Or is there some initial kind of sit down, get my bearings? Walk through your process a little bit, if you would.
Well, with FranConnect, we provide services strictly to franchisors. So if you are looking to acquire a franchise, you would probably want to try to do some Googling around things that you've got passion for, things that you like to do that help you feel good about waking up the next day instead of just going to a job. There are a lot of people that can help you with trying to do that introspective. At FranConnect, though, we're going to be dealing with you after you've made that decision and you've joined a company that was smart enough not only to acquire you as a franchisee, but also to have the services of our company help you figure out what it was you wanted to do with yourself when you decided what it was going to be in the first place.
Okay.
So your business is working with the franchisor.
Totally and completely. Our customers are franchisors.
Right. Not the displaced executive.
Right. But we'll help that displaced executive find passion for the thing he's looking to do if the company that he chooses to franchise with is a customer of Fran Connects.
You got that, Stone?
Yeah, that's got to be extremely rewarding work, I would think.
It is.
I mean, how many franchisors are there out there?
In the U.S. alone, there's over 2,000. There are about 1,300 or 1,400 members of the International Franchise Association in the U.S. alone. And, of course, Australia, the U.K., other parts of the world, franchising as a business model continues to grow, and it continues to do quite well. Here in the U.S., though, with 430 brands that we manage that are clients of ours already, there's still room for a little bit more growth, Stone. So,
how many here in Atlanta? How many here? There's a bunch in Atlanta, right? Atlanta's a unique market.
Yeah, it actually is. It is actually the number one destination nationwide for franchise home offices. There are 70 or 80 of them here in Atlanta. And that's why the Southeast Franchise Forum, which is an organization here that has monthly meetings, invites franchisors, franchisees, and suppliers to come together for a monthly get-together for the good of the order. And
are you still involved with that?
Yeah, I'm on the board of directors of the Southeast Franchise Forum.
And you recommend that for anybody interested in franchising?
By all means, if there's somebody who's looking to get engaged in franchising, if somebody who's already engaged in franchising, if you're a very busy franchisee and your head is down every day and you're real busy running your business, carve an hour a week, once a month, out of your life, and get with people that are in your space and pick your head up a little bit. And some of that intellectual capital that's out there is just begging to help you, and you can help them too with some things perhaps that they haven't quite figured out yet that you have.
Well, that's got to be one of the greatest advantages of actually joining this franchise instead of trying to go on it all by yourself. That's terrific to be able to tap into best practices and
Absolutely.
Talk to people that have been there before. Let's make sure our listeners know how to get in touch with you and or get access to some of this intellectual capital and information that will help them.
Happy to help them help themselves. You can find me at www.franconnect.com or personally Stan.Friedman, Friedman at franconnect.com.
He's got his own thing there.
See that?
I like it. Well, thanks for coming back and visiting with us, man.
Happy to be here. Happy to be with you guys again and appreciate the
and
time.
And if you
and
know any Gen Xers, send them his way.
Send them my way. We're looking for help.
Well, I was going to apply myself, but I have high financial ambition and low work ethic. Have you got anything for that?
Yeah, you're probably in the right job right about now.
I'm doing what I was born to do, right? Well, thanks. I'll tell you what I would like to do sometime. I'd love to have you come on with a delighted client.
I'll be thrilled to.
You think that'd make for a good show?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Terrific. There's a ton of franchisors in town that use Fran Connect.
Absolutely. Happy to do that anytime, Stone.
Terrific. Well, hang out with us for a while, if you will.
We've got other
folks to visit with. Next up on the High Velocity Radio Show is a gentleman that's organizing a very exciting event, I think, coming up in January, and he's brought one of his keynote speakers with him. Welcome back to the Business Radio X studio, Rico Pena.
Thank you so much, Stone. It's I almost feel like part of the family I'm here so often now.
Yeah, we're going to have to start, we're going to have to put him on the payroll, I think. Well, I love the, this has got to be, we said we had the best dressed plumber. This is the best dressed, what are you? What do you do for a living besides organize events?
Well, Pena Global provides sales and communication expertise for companies and individuals so they can provide effective presentations, increase their income, and increase influence.
You get that?
Here's another one that has answered the question before. You didn't hear any ums.
We should be practicing more. We don't
have a little, like if I asked you, what do y'all do at Business Radio X? You're like,
talk to people.
Come be on the show and you can take a look if you want.
Right.
So tell us all about this event you got coming up, man.
Absolutely. January 14th, 2012, we are going to have the Stay in the Game Business Summit. And it's designed for individuals, corporations, entrepreneurs, businesswomen, anyone who wants to have a game plan for 2012, and as the previous speaker said, have that intellectual capital on how to do so. We bring in high-level executives, high-level experts, speakers, authors who either have the plan, have experienced it, and I'm going to show you what to do. So it's not an Oprah feel-good. It's how do you walk out with something that you can actually apply and survive in 2012. And one of the things that make us different is that we have a plan for the year. You're going to have support throughout the entire year, someone standing side by side with you to make sure you do what you have to do in 2012.
You're going
to
come to my house?
We can go by the house. We can go Skype. We can go on the phone. I'll even come back on the radio and help you.
No, that's great support, though. And I will tell you, I went to the Oprah thing just a Saturday.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I had a terrific experience. And I did get a really nice leather bag with some L'Oreal makeup in it. So there is some follow through on that.
Yeah, it's working. I can
and
see
she's
that.
A great
the last
speaker.
Time I saw you.
And
yeah.
Oprah is at his house right now.
Yeah.
Waiting for him to finish.
Doing
the
follow up. But no, this is an important aspect of your event versus a lot
yes.
that I've spoken at candidly, but also just attended. You guys are really serious about this whole follow through.
Absolutely.
Thing.
I've survived it myself. I've been an entrepreneur since I was 16 years old. And one of the things that assisted us as we went through is having those mentors, having the ability to have accountability, but also have the people who've been where you want to go and can walk you through hands on and having a place where you can meet other like-minded individuals. And for us, it's also passionate because it helps support the Wounded Warrior Project. So the proceeds from the event go to support an amazing charity, which is called the Wounded Warrior Project, which helps those who are coming back from Iraq, Afghanistan, who are wounded both physically and mentally and need some support at home and how to go back into society and be a functional part of society and say, hey, you know, there's someone here that can help you.
And you brought one of your headliner.
Absolutely.
Keynote speakers. Please introduce that person, and let's get a chance to visit with her a little bit.
Well, to showcase a little bit about what we're going to have there in 2012, I had to bring my big guns out here. And that's Bernadette Bowes. She's the author of Shedding the Corporate Bitch. She's getting well-recognized national. And I had the pleasure of meeting her as she was expanding and was very impressed with her. And she brings a message that everyone needs to hear, whether you're an individual, whether you're in business, that can really help you survive and sustain and stay in the game in 2012. So I wanted to bring her onto the radio, let people know what they can expect in 2012 and what she brings to the table.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Stone. Yes, I'm really looking forward to this event because, like you had already mentioned, what I am thrilled about is that RICO, it's not about the woo-woo, as I call it. It's about the how-to. And, you know, I'm one as well as an educator, as a speaker, as an author who wants to arm individuals, men or women, with the tools and with the skill set that they need, as well as the mindset that they need in order to really execute against the dreams and the goals that they have. So I'm thrilled to be part of this summit because my message is clearly that you have to have an empowered mindset long before you're able to really optimize and utilize your skills and your talents. And skills and talents are great, but at the same time, as my book emphasizes, you can really fall short of accomplishing your dreams and your goals if that mindset isn't empowered, secure, confident. You'll often give in to a lot of the pressures of the world, and therefore your skills and talents are not really ever optimized. So his summit and what myself and the panel of speakers that he has and educators, I'll call them educators. Let's call them educators.
Because
speakers
yeah.
is less like, you know, a bunch of mouthpieces, which we all can be, by the way. But but we really want to educate how to bring together the mindset, the skills, and the talents to really, you know, move your goals and your dreams forward.
So how did you get in this racket? You had a real job at one time, didn't you?
I did. Well, I did spend 25 years in corporate America. Like many of the people that even Stan was talking earlier, get displaced or transitioned out of. And I was given my lovely pink slip after having a global vice president position and thought that corporate was my identity. And realized very quickly after leaving that actually it wasn't, it was far from my identity. And I learned that I was carrying a lot of angst and attitude and bitchiness because I thought I had to be in order to be successful in the corporate world. And having left that job, it was just an unbelievable transformation to let all of that go and realize that, no, what I needed is to really feel good about who I am and what I believe in what I have faith in. And then all of the leadership, all of the success, all of the riches of life will follow. And that's where the book kind of stemmed from, is how I shedded that corporate bitch into, you know, now helping other people realize their dreams.
And what are those dreams you're helping to realize for people?
We look at everything from what their personal goals and objectives might be, whether it's fitness or health or their spirituality, where they are in life with relationships. I myself being single, I myself being very fit and try to be health conscious, I always tend to define, you know, goals all around those things. And then all the way from how an individual wants to enter the corporate world or the entrepreneurial world, to how they can grow and really kind of mature into leadership roles. So everything from the personal and the professional ambitions that an individual might have.
Now, do you ever recommend somebody join the corporate ranks?
Absolutely.
You do?
Oh, sure.
So you're not soured on the
corporate. No. No. This is that's a great question because I'm rarely asked it, though. This is not a slam on corporate. This is a slam on how I approached my ambition and my corporate climb and how I allowed peer pressures and some other influences kind of unfortunately, you know, dictate a behavior that isn't optimal in the corporate world. It is kind of, what's the word? It's rampant in a lot of corporate cultures. But at the same time, what I've also learned over the last 4 years that I've been out of corporate is I can go back into that environment leveraging my now empowered, secure, and optimized skills and talents and mindset and be more successful than I ever was trying to, you know, rule with an iron fist.
Well, this is going to be a fun event. What's the date on this thing?
The date is January 14th. It's a Saturday. And it's going to be held at the Atlanta Perimeter Hotel and Suites, former W Hotel across from Perimeter Mall.
And primarily geared toward women, but men should come too, maybe?
Geared to anyone who's interested as an entrepreneur, who is in corporate, as a manager, as a leader, decides they want to start a business. If you want to get involved in any form of business, this is guided for you.
And, I mean, if I can get something out of the Oprah thing, I can get something by
absolutely
hanging out with a lot of female execs, right?
That's right.
I mean, it's kind of a female theme all day. We had a meeting before we went on the air this morning with some folks looking at doing some shows aimed at spotlighting female executives. So, And then we had the Pink Plumber. Oh, incidentally, our franchising guy slipped me a note a little while ago. They have a program for veterans as well. So you guys might want to connect on
absolutely,
that
certainly.
And talk that through a little
absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely.
Okay, January 14th. And what's the best way to find out more? Call you guys, get on the website, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. They can reach us on the web at www.sensationalu.net or they can call me directly at 770-616-8080.
Terrific. Well, thanks for coming back. And between now and then, we're going to talk to some other headliners, either in this studio or one of the other studios, right?
Absolutely, yes.
All right. Good stuff. We'll raise some money for the Wounded Warriors. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, we might get some pink stickers going on, too. We'll see what happens. So hang with us a while, will you?
Absolutely.
We got some more folks to visit
with
you.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Thanks, Bernadette. So next up on the High Velocity Radio Show, this is an encore performance, I believe.
Yes, she's been here before.
Yeah, this young lady has letters after her name.
So that shows how smart she
is. Well, she's smarter than we are. We know that. She's a CPA, and she's with Iconis Group, LLC. She is the Grand Poobah, the Chief Executive Officer of that outfit. Welcome to the show, Miss Iconis. How are you?
Thank you. Good. How are you guys doing today?
I am doing well. So what's up in the CPA world?
What's up in the CPA
world? Are the numbers
world?
Still adding up or is it getting crazy?
They're getting a little crazy out there. No, we're a little different group. We don't do tax returns and we don't do the traditional audit work that CPA firms do. We actually go in and help the business owner run the business and help them understand the numbers better. So it's a different perspective that we bring to business.
Now, but we're here to celebrate. Miss Kathy has been named 40 under 40 for the second time, right?
Yes, sir.
And why don't you talk a little bit about
meaning
that?
You're still under 40?
I am still under 40. I'm actually 31.
That's
so
an
yes.
She can do this 9 more times.
Exactly. My husband and I joke about this. This is a goal. We want to try to go as far as we can with this. But CPA Practice Advisor, it is a national magazine that publishes every year a 40 under 40 list of people that are up and coming, I guess, in the accounting industry.
Right. And then did you nominate yourself or how did you get involved in this group?
You go every year they have a nomination process and, you know, a shameless plug. I've asked some clients and stuff like that to nominate me. Uh-huh. And, you know, I guess from what they've written in, they've selected me as one of their people on the list.
Now, and part of your practice, you mentioned you're not the typical CPA, that you go out
right.
and you help kind of strategy and business direction, all kinds of stuff, right?
Strategy, business direction. You know, what Bernadette was talking about earlier, I think we do similar stuff, just coming from a different perspective. I want to empower the business owner. I want to help them reach their dreams as well. I just use numbers to get them there.
Right.
And so I asked somebody else this question earlier, I think, but I'd like to know it from this world, too. What kind of challenges or mistakes do you find that people make when they don't get the right kind of counsel and don't have the right kind of relationship with their CPA professional?
Well, there's several things that impact the business. I mean, the biggest thing is for you to be able to make good decisions in your business, you need to have good numbers in
right,
the first place.
Right.
And a lot of people wait till the end of the year and give their CPA the shoebox full of receipts and say, here, clean it up.
So now, why are you looking at me when you say this?
I don't know. and say, clean it up, do all the tax returns, and there you go. You know, save me some money at the end of the year.
What percentages of businesses do it that way?
It depends on the size of business.
I bet it's a big percentage of small.
Yes.
Is it like 80?
I'm not going to have a great concrete answer for you. But what I want everyone to know is every business has their mess.
Mm-hmm.
And it, no matter what size you are, I've worked in, you know, a huge national, multinational construction company, and they had their messes. Everyone has their mess. It's just a matter of, you know, how big of a mess is it? How can you manage it? You can't be perfect all the time with your numbers. Honestly, that's the reality
Except
of
you.
It. I have a perfection complex. I want to be perfect. I try.
That's probably a good trait.
Yes.
Probably
yes.
more important in a CPA than a radio host,
yes,
I would
I
think.
Agree.
Yeah. I take a lot of pride in making sure that the numbers are right, because I'm not able to give good advice unless I feel comfortable with where the numbers are.
Right.
So what is marketing like in your world? It seems to me like marketing a CPA practice would be like pushing a rope uphill. I wouldn't even know how to go about that.
Well, I have a great consultant right now. Her name is Bonnie Bulresic with BBR Marketing. She helps a lot of professional service-based organizations, especially accountants and lawyers. And what we're doing is we're pivoting our focus. We're going to focus more on the creative types, creative industries. I have several interior design clients. Want to go keep on getting more of those
nice.
Out there.
So maybe like identify a niche and then really
do
it.
We're working
so
on
the
you niche.
So what do you think about the pink plumber thing? Is there room for like the pink CPA? Or?
I think, well, we're actually going to rebrand Iconis Group, and there's going to be some red in it. So we're going to be, I guess maybe the red CPA group. I don't know. But we're bold. We're out there. We're different. And, you know, we want to show people that.
Now, do you find that, and this is coming from my own fears and insecurities, but do you find that a lot of your clients are scared to death when it comes up to tax time, and and that's why they postpone? And
that's why you need to bring me into the mix, because I won't do the taxes, but I'll make sure that I can work with your tax person and get it all done, and you don't have to stress about it. I'm going to get you your numbers monthly. I'm going to, you know, stay on top of it for you so you don't have to.
We're not going to wait till October
no,
the 10th.
I don't
on
do
the
that.
Second extension. Okay.
No.
I know people have done that.
I know. I want tax returns like filed in February or March. I'm sorry. I don't want you stressing out about it. And I want you to, like I said, knowledge is power. So you need to know what your numbers are as soon as possible.
I got to ask you this, because I got to find out if they're just blowing smoke or what. I was told that we had to e-file this time around. Is that legit?
I don't do taxes.
She doesn't do taxes.
I don't know.
I have some great tax people you can talk to if you need a referral.
All right,
you're always looking for free advice.
Yes, he is.
I am always looking for free advice, and I use this platform to do that. But I bet you I'm not the only one out there that has like the small business mentality of just take everything to somebody.
No,
I'm
absolutely.
Not thinking through actually the value of hiring a
right.
CPA.
They're completely different perspectives, where I'm going to come in looking at how you run your business. How can we save you time in your business?
Right.
Versus a tax guy's going to come in and say, okay, I can save you, you know, money in your taxes this way. And they're able to look at the numbers differently than I am.
More holistic.
Yeah.
It isn't just tax oriented.
Right. So
and this is why Lee has more money than I do. We're in the same business. We're working 10 foot apart, and he could buy and sell me three times over.
There you go.
So now, so what are you doing to celebrate your 40 under 40 achievement? What do they do with the Econos Group to
40 under 40? I got a nice little poster. I'm going to frame
that.
That's
it.
That's about it. We're not doing a lot. No, I haven't gotten a trophy in a while. I did actually in my old job. I got an unsung hero glass trophy at one point. But
so you don't do nothing? No dinner? You didn't get a dinner?
I think nothing? I don't know. Nothing. Not
Man.
Really.
Is there a 50 under 50?
Look, for us,
it's not going to be.
We're
going to
need 60 under 60.
But luckily, it's rolling into new things. I've just been asked to be part of the Intuit Advisory Council.
Oh, wow.
So that's about, I think they have 18 members on it, and it's a 2-year commitment. And I get to sit down with the product managers and really learn about everything that they're doing over at Intuit and give my advice on that stuff.
That's the Quicken people.
Quicken and QuickBooks. And they're doing a whole bunch of stuff over there. It's going to be fun.
How do you know all this stuff?
Look, I know.
He runs the business.
He's not any better. I was just teasing the other. I was just making a conversation. You're not any better with money than I am. How do you know this stuff?
We have other people that deal with QuickBooks, not me. I know better than that.
Accounting doesn't have to be scary, folks. It really doesn't.
As long as you hire someone to do it for you.
Right. A CPA.
Yes.
Your tax
person. And you need someone that can talk your language, too.
Right.
So, and translate it all back for you.
Right. From accountant to English.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you about associations, because we had a meeting earlier this morning and we were talking about the value of associations, particularly in niches. And in this particular conversation was about female executives and associations they were part of.
Right.
Do you find yourself seeking out and participating in associations, either female or CPA oriented or some?
I'm heavily involved with the Georgia Society of CPAs.
Uh-huh.
I love networking with them over there. I don't necessarily, if it's getting me anything professional development wise, they do offer continuing education for me, but it's more I'm giving back to the community and I'm impacting the future of the CPA industry, which I really find enjoyable. We work with college students and we put on a conference every year, and doing all that sort of stuff is great. And, you know, I'm going after interior designers. I'm going to start looking at the ASID and seeing what we can do there and different opportunities within that niche.
That is a very cool.
Yeah, that's great.
So, I mean, to me, in one respect, that's a very bold move to say I'm going after this niche. But we've talked to person after person that has had success.
That's right.
Niches
bring you riches.
There you go.
That's
how it works.
Hopefully. Cross your fingers.
There's your sound bite right there.
Exactly.
So how can our listeners get in touch with you and get some professional counsel on organizing their numbers so they don't do like I do and take a shoebox full of stuff to the wrong person, probably? I don't know.
Definitely. Well, I do offer a free consultation to anyone. We do about an hour consultation going through your business and giving you advice. And then I can also give you pricing if you want us to do it versus you doing it. But you can check out our website. It's iconisgroup.com. That's iconisgroup.com. Or you can email me. It's ciconis@iconisgroup.com.
Well, congratulations
Thank
on
you.
Winning this award. I'm not the least bit surprised. I'm almost certain we'll have her back for the next round of
next
of
year's
awards.
40 under 40. Hopefully, cross your fingers.
You got 9 more shots at it, right?
Exactly. I'm trying.
Well, thanks so much for joining. And do hang with us because we've got a few more folks to talk to on the show. And then, as is usually the case around here, we usually hang out and have a couple beers. No, we don't usually drink this time of day, but we usually do hang out and visit and that kind of thing. Will you
Great.
Hang with us for a little while?
Absolutely. Terrific. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, Lee, I'm just about worn out, man. We have been talking to folks all morning. We've been on the air for a while talking to a lot of folks and a lot of different businesses. I don't know. Have you learned anything?
Yes. This has been a great show.
Yeah.
I like the pacing. You're doing a great job.
Yeah, me?
Yes. Keep up the good work.
That's right. Well, look, if you work 1 hour a day, you're supposed to get as much as you can get
out of that hour.
And so I don't know if this lady's an iPad rep or what, but she's had her iPad with her since the day she walked
That's
in.
That's where all the intelligence is.
Yeah. No, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce Miss Sue Ann Morgan.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So what you come to talk to us about this morning, Ms. Nguyen?
We are here to talk about La Dame d'Escoffier International and their Atlanta chapter, as well as the Afternoon in the Country fundraiser that they do every fall, now in their 11th year.
I am glad I was not responsible for pronouncing that.
We're not allowed to pronounce that. That's a rule.
So yeah, tell us all about that.
Well, what I'd like to do is introduce Mary Moore, who is the president of Cook's Warehouse, founder and CEO, and she's also the incoming president of La Dame d'Escoffier International, and she can tell you more about La Dame d'Escoffier. Mary?
Thanks. Thank you very much for having us on the show. We appreciate it. La Dame's is it's a worldwide philanthropic organization. It's women in food, beverage, and hospitality. And we like to raise money and help support women in their efforts for culinary school, continuing education, all different kinds of philanthropic efforts. And we also give a lot back to the community through Georgia Organics. And Barbara Petit is here. She's been very involved with La Dame since the very beginning, too, right?
I think I was a second year. You were a charter member, and yeah. I came in the second year. Yeah, my name is Barbara Petit, and I work with, I'm a longtime Dame d'Escoffier, and I also work with Georgia Organics and the Atlanta Local Food Initiative. So I really have moved from the for-profit sector over to the non-for-profit sector, and it's been a great kind of partnership between Les Dames d'Escoffier and several different nonprofits, but Georgia Organics has been very fortunate to have been a longtime partner of the organization.
So my mom was here for the weekend. You know that. You know, yes. I went to the Oprah thing, yes. And that was why she was here. And we went and we had a great time. But my mother is very committed to organic. Mm-hmm. In fact, I have, I guess they're organic eggs, if there's such a thing, in my refrigerator now, and that she did not take with her. So what is the status of organic? How are people in our country viewing that whole movement? Is it taking off? Is it growing?
Is it
diminishing?
Or is it going to stick around?
Where are we?
Really, really fascinating, because you would think with the downturn in the economy and the economic struggles we've had for the past several years that organics, because they tend to be a little on the higher side in terms of pricing, would have slipped off. But they're actually one of the few growing sectors.
Right.
I think people really want to have confidence in their food and where it comes from and how it's been grown and produced. And organic is just a key way of knowing what has gone into the food you're eating.
Can you define organic for our listeners? Like, what does that mean when somebody says that their food's organic?
Organic is technically defined by the USDA. It's a formal program of the United States government now. It used to be used in a much more loose sense.
Right.
But essentially, it is producing these products, both meats and vegetables and fruits, without the use of synthetic inputs, that is oil-based inputs.
Pesticides,
herbicides, fungicides.
Any side.
Any old side you want. That's exactly right. And it's using cultural methods. It's using a lot of other methods that are really valid, but it's not using just that blanket use of synthetic chemicals.
Well, that's helpful. I mean, seriously, because all I know about organic is what Mom tells me, and I think it applies for her at least. She big on the dairy organic-y stuff and the wine.
The wine.
There's a whole section
organic
in the grocery store.
Yes.
Organic
and that's wine. You'll see some organic wines out at Afternoon in the Country. So that's really a great opportunity to taste some of these
event.
Things.
Yeah, let's hear more about this event.
Afternoon in the Country is our largest, really our only fundraiser now, and it's huge. We're selling 1,000 tickets this year, and we are 70 away from selling out.
Wow.
So very important to get your tickets
exactly.
today.
That doesn't count the comp. Tickets that go to radio hosts, people like that.
right. Good luck with that. You have to talk to Sue Ann.
Right.
It is an amazing event. We have over 50 restaurants participating, over 25 wineries and beverage organizations participating, 18 retailers, and people just go out to this beautiful, sustainable community at Serenby. It's actually in a farm environment and setting. There's a donkey pen right there around where the main tents are. We have bluegrass music and a cake raffle and silent auction, and then you taste all this incredible food from all the top restaurateurs in the city, drink and taste all these amazing beverages from the different people participating, and it raises lots of funds.
And at the same time, you're not in a hotel ballroom. You're outside. Yeah. The weather's beautiful. You can walk around the gardens and the farm. It's just spectacular.
They have a labyrinth out there you can go, you know, get lost in. And is it's that just a great day in the country.
It's an all-day affair?
It's actually an afternoon.
One to four.
Mm-hmm. So prime time.
And then how long does it take to get from Atlanta to Serenity?
About 35 minutes.
Yeah, from downtown. Mm-hmm. It's in Palmetto, which is 20 minutes from the airport.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's just south of the airport?
Mm-hmm. Southwest.
Southwest.
Now that's my kind of day.
There you go.
That sounds wonderful. So Anne, what's your role in all this?
Well, about 4 years ago, 2008, La Dame's D'Escoffier Atlanta hired me to produce the event for them. So it was my charge to kind of grow and refine the event. So that's basically what we've done over the last few years is take them from kind of a 700-person event. Now it's about 1,600 people, and we're fully tented. So even in inclement weather, we can still have
shine,
a great time.
Right?
Very nice. Very nice.
And I love this event. I love helping this organization. I love working with Serenby. And the sponsors that they get that are involved in this are phenomenal. Peachtree Tents and Events donates tenting for this event. We have Restaurant Depot. We have Whole Foods. Lots of big names that get involved with this event on a sponsorship level. Gloriosa, which is a decor group down at Serenby, they do all the decor. It's a beautiful event. It's very elite. We have a lot of people who come to the event in limousines. But of course, if you're going to be drinking wine for 3 hours, yeah.
Way out the country. Yeah.
I like that. We could take the Business Radio X limo.
Yeah, sure.
Do you have one of those?
Well, maybe we need one.
I think you do.
Now, can you talk a little bit about Serenby? Because that's a bed and breakfast and farm. It's a whole...
It's actually a sustainable community. It's a whole sustainable community, and it was designed using some very innovative techniques to keep it sustainable and to preserve some land in the wild, to put some land in irrigation, and then it's got all levels of housing there too.
Right.
From apartment living to beautiful homes, and it's got tremendous retail space and beautiful restaurants, and it's just
it's kind of like Sonoma, Napa.
Yeah, it's sort of like Sonoma, right. Atlanta South, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right. And that's the only place of its kind in the Atlanta area, right?
It's one of the only
of its kind in the country too. Mm-hmm. I mean, Steve was the first.
Steve and Marie Nygren.
Actually,
the founders,
internationally,
yeah.
too. A mm-hmm. lot of international mm-hmm. governments send people over to check it out because they're using it as the model.
Also a beautiful inn, as you suggested. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then so you guys go there to do this event mm-hmm. as a fundraiser once a year?
Mm-hmm. That's right. They're a partner in this, too. They really contribute the space for us to come out.
Is it hard to get the restaurant, the chefs to get involved in this?
Not at all. We have a wait list at this point. We have tons
really?
Of people.
So you're turning away...
Well, we're not turning them away. They're on a wait list.
No, we love our chefs people and the restaurants, and they do so much for the community. It's mm-hmm. it's really great for them to be able to bring their families out and enjoy the afternoon in the country as well.
Now, how is Atlanta from a restaurant standpoint in the world? Like, how is it viewed? Is there a lot of good restaurants here compared to other places?
Absolutely. Atlanta's one of the top cities now. I mean, uh-huh. we really are on the map in terms mm-hmm. of restaurants and offerings and opportunities. We're very lucky. It's changed so much over the last 10, 15 years.
Right, because I know we've interviewed a lot of people, and they're like, oh, we were on the Food Network show, this show, that show, we won this or that. And I kept thinking, wow, that seems like a lot. I mean, does every market have this many? It just seemed like there was a lot of them that are from Atlanta.
We have, almost 10, I think, that have been on Food Network mm-hmm. in some capacity. Mm-hmm.
And some that are up and coming as well.
Now, are they going to be there? Some of them will be there at that
Several
event?
Of them, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But so my hat is off to you. I cannot imagine trying to manage something with this many moving parts. How in the world do you stay on top of an event together like
that's
this?
What I do. I'm an event producer, and I actually thrive on that. I love the juggling of the parts and pieces. It's a lot of fun. And at the end of the day, I believe that experiences are what we have when we leave this planet. And I love making great experiences for people. That's my job.
Well, she is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, she has taken us so far ahead to the next. We outgrew ourselves. I mean, we're 100%
a volunteer
organization. And the first few years it rained every year, and we're out there schlepping around, and we had cement buckets that we made with signs in them. And I mean, Sue Ann has really taken this way above and beyond anything mm-hmm. we could have mm-hmm. done on our own. We're so grateful. Mm-hmm. And it's much more profitable, too. Mm-hmm. So we wind up making a lot more money to be able to give back to the community. It's fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah, and let's do talk about that before we wrap up. Who are you giving to? Who are you propping up? Or does it change every year?
Georgia Organics has consistently been one of our beneficiaries, and that provides lots of different opportunities for them. They use the funds in many different ways. And then we also give scholarships. We were awarded, I think, $26,000 in scholarships last year, and we give to women who are either in college, in culinary school, trying to earn their degrees, or we do grants for continuing education. So the funds really go back to those who need it and to help continue building this food
community.
Are women
not getting involved in culinary school? Is that why there needs to be scholarships for them?
They are getting involved, and much more so. There's need-based scholarships.
Right. So there's a gap there. There's women that would like to participate, but they just can't afford it.
There used to be a greater gap. I think that was was part of Les Dames de Scoffier's mission from the very beginning.
Right.
Because there was a big gap, and that's grown smaller and smaller. But we still feel it's so important to support women in culinary, in the culinary arts. And also we've extended that to include women who are becoming farmers in agriculture.
Oh,
so
yeah,
we consider that to be an important component of the
right,
food
that's
world
great.
As well.
So you must like all these farmers markets popping up. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, everybody likes that. The communities are just standing in line to get a farmers market. We got to get more farmers so we can have
more
markets, right?
Let's make sure that our listeners know exactly when this thing is happening this afternoon in the country.
Sunday, November 6th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., and there are just a few tickets left. If you want to go online to ldeiatlanta.org, you can still get tickets.
You better hurry, Stone. I got mine.
Right.
I'll be there.
You're always winning. Everything always comes up Lee. I don't know how to explain that. Well, thank you so much, all of you, for coming on. We'd love to have you back sometime. Maybe we'll get a post-game show and hear how it went.
Back. Maybe bring one. I'd love to get one of the chefs that you got a scholarship for to come back and talk about their experience.
That's a great idea.
You know what they got out of that personally. That would be a good story for us to hear. Do you think?
Right. Yes, we can
definitely
do that.
Cool.
All right.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton, Lee Cantor, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.